Good morning. Good to see everybody up shaking hands and grinning and visiting. This is the Advent season when preachers are supposed to begin in the Old Testament and preach up to the birth of Christ. And I'm going to do it a little differently. We are going to be talking about the birth of Christ. And this morning I want to start with Isaiah 55. This is one of my favorite chapters of Isaiah, and you hear me quote, usually when I pray from here, that God's word will not return to him void, but will accomplish what he sends it to do. That's the last verse in Isaiah. What a comfort that God assures his people, my word will do what I send it out to do. Now, something they told us in Bible college that's a little sad, they said, no's an answer. They said, very often as ministers, we get down on ourselves if we're not seeing a lot of fruit. And we preach messages and we know there's people that need to come forward. They need to repent. They need to rededicate their lives, or they need to come to Christ, and they don't. And they said, it's easy to blame that on yourself and say, well, I didn't deliver the right message. But the professor said, remember something, no is an answer. And that doesn't nullify the passage that God said, my word will send, do what I send it out to do, because he himself said, if the world hates you, understand it hated me first. So, this passage in Isaiah 55 is a beautiful passage. It is God calling his people to repentance. Isaiah was written during a time that Israel was worshiping Balaam and God. And the idea was, Balaam is the God who gives us rain and blesses our crops. God's our warrior God. He's the one that protects us in time of danger. So when we want to rain, we pray to Balaam. When we need security, we pray to God. And God said, nuh-uh. My paraphrasing, God says, I don't play second fiddle to anybody. I'm your God. It's at a time that they're under the law of Moses. And if you remember, he said when Moses gave them the law, when he had read the law, the Israelites said, we'll do it. And Moses said, then I bind you to this law. And he said, understand something. Cursed are those who don't do everything pertained in the law. Well, none of them could keep it. And I can imagine how frustrating that was. But this is a beautiful passage of God inviting not only his people who are following him, but the people that got away from him. He's inviting them to come back into a relationship with him. Our text is Isaiah 55, 1 through 7. I've entitled it God's Great Gift because salvation is a gift. If you enter the kingdom of heaven, it's by the grace of God that you'll enter. Now, same for me. Preacher ain't no different than you. All right, let's look at the text. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel. For he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Father, I thank you for your word, which, as you said, Lord, does not return to you empty, but accomplishes what you sent it out to do. I ask, Lord, that you send your Spirit here today, that he will take this sword of yours and do his work with it. Father, whatever way that we need to be dealt with by your Spirit, we invite you to do this work. Lord Jesus, I thank you that we're two or three are gathered in your name, you're in the midst. And I know your heart, Lord, that you're more willing and wishful than I could ever be for these people here this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you will speak to every individual here and tell them what it is they need to do. And I praise you and thank you for that. And I ask that I might decrease, that you would increase in this message. In Jesus' holy name, amen. I want you to notice a point here. God isn't talking to the righteous in this passage. When they rebuked Jesus, well, his disciples, because he ate with sinners, he received them. You know, and when a sinner invited him to lunch, Jesus went, and a good rabbi didn't do that. They didn't want to be defiled. And Jesus one day looked at him and said, well, it's not the sick, or it's not the healthy that need a doctor, it's the sick. He said, I didn't come here to call the righteous, I came to call the sinners. So, church, where should we be? Out with the sinners. We're trying to get the sinners in here, and the sinners really don't want to come here that often unless you see them. Or you got some Christian rock band or something that they're interested in. And I'm not against those methods, don't get me wrong. But we're supposed to be out where the sinners are. I remember I hadn't been Christian long, and I got invited to a party. Well, I knew there was going to be drinking stuff going on. And I prayed a lot when I first got saved. I don't pray as much as I used to, God help me. But I prayed a lot. I always go up in the woods because I was by myself. I liked the peace and quiet, and I could talk to the Lord uninterrupted. That's where they had cell phones. If I'd have had a cell phone, I'd have left it at the house. But I was praying one day and asking the Lord, you know, show me what you want me to do. And the Lord told me, my people need to get out amongst the sinners. And I wasn't sure about that. And there was a deacon in the church I attended I really respected. And I went and seen him one night, and I told him my predicament. I said, I've been invited to this party. I'm not going to drink, but I don't know if I ought to go, being a Christian now, because these people aren't Christians. And if somebody that knows me sees me at this party, they're going to say, hey, Rick's still partying, when I wasn't partying. And the deacon said the smartest thing I ever heard him say to me. He said, let's pray about it. He said, have you prayed about this? I said, yes. He said, let's pray. And he got by the hand, and I let him pray. And I can't describe what come over me, but it hit him too. I felt him jerk, and he looked at me and said, did you feel that? I said, yeah. He said, what answer did you get? I said, go. He said, that's the same answer I got. He said, the Lord wants you to go to that party. So I went. I'll tell you, after I was there about 30 minutes, I thought, God, I misunderstood you, because I feel about out of place as a red-headed child for the family reunion. You know, I just didn't feel like I belonged there. I said, Lord, I don't party anymore. You know, what am I going to talk to them about? If I start talking about Jesus, they'll clear out. And the Lord said, you just stay where you're at. So I wandered around, visited with people. One guy finally said, I heard you got religion. I said, no, I've got Jesus Christ. There's a big difference. Oh, turned around and walked off. Another person said, how come you're not drinking? Are you sick? I said, no, I don't need alcohol anymore. I come to Jesus. Oh, turned around, off they went. I said, Lord, why am I here? Nobody's listening. He said, they're listening. But more important, they're watching. And another guy walked up and said, I heard you got religion, and he said, after I've watched you for a couple hours, maybe you did. I used to drink with him. He said, you've been here 2 hours, you didn't pop the top on a can. By now, you're usually one of the drunkest here, and you're either laughing or you're mean. You know, what's happened to you? I said, I found Jesus. And when I left the party, I said, okay, Lord, I understand. I got to talk to three people about Jesus. And I got three answers. No, not interested. But God wanted me to go. We use that as an excuse not to go out among the sinners. Well, now, most of them won't listen to what you say. But what about the ones that will? See, that's who God's prophecy is in. He says, come, you who are thirsty. When I was studying this week, I started questioning the Lord and myself. I said, am I thirsty? God didn't say casual seekers. Come, you who are a little curious. He said, come, you who are thirsty. The Hebrew word there is the word used for parched, dry ground. That's thirsty. And you know, when I was out in the world and into the things of the world, nothing satisfied me. I remember thinking, boy, if I could have that, I'd be satisfied. If I could make this much money a week, I'd be happy. If I could smoke this weed and drink this whiskey, you know, the main brand, I mean the higher brand, not the skull puffing whiskey, but the, you know, the 8-year-old bourbon, and boy, if I could just have that. And I would get it, and I was miserable. The things of this world will leave you thirsty. They won't fulfill you. They'll kill you. If you persist, they'll kill you. I'm convinced that I'd be dead by now if the Lord hadn't heard my cry in 1984 and changed me. I can name 5 or 6 men I used to party with are all on the ground now. Breaks my heart. And I think, there before the grace of God, go I. God says, come, you who are thirsty. People who are thirsty understand they don't have it yet. Something in my life is missing, and I need you. And there's no mistake about what the Lord's saying about the waters. Come to the waters. He told Jeremiah, my people are drinking water out of cisterns, and they have forsaken me, the fountain of life. What's God offering here? Himself. As Brother Mark sang about, he's offering the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said on the great day of the feast, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me, and I'll give him rivers of living water. But it isn't just for you to contain. He said it'll spill out into rivers. It's supposed to touch the people around you and affect their lives. You know why we don't hunger for God? Because we don't want to get into that depth where God wants us. Well, how do I know if I hunger for God? I can answer that very plainly. And this goes to the preacher. What do you spend the most time in? What is it you seek the most? Is it your entertainment? Is it your hobbies? Do you seek that more than God? If I dropped you out here in the middle of the woods, at least, and I knew it would take you a week to get out, and I gave you one little container of water, after that was gone, you're going to be hunting water. Because in about 4 days, you'll get dehydrated, and you're going to hit the ground. And you would be thirsty. The word used here in the Hebrew to describe thirsty, you'd be thirsty. You wouldn't be above drinking water out of a stump. You'd get to that point of thirst. Anything to try to saturate that thirst. I've heard POWs drinking their own urine because the enemy wouldn't give them water. I heard a POW talking about they put them on these ships and were taking them to Japan in World War II. And he said they had it packed in there like sardines. And he said, men got so thirsty, he said, they gave us 2 tablespoons of water a day in the hold of that hot ship in the South Pacific. And he said men were cutting other men and sucking the blood out just to have something to drink. That's thirsty, isn't it? God gives the invitation, are you thirsty for me? Do you thirst for me? Is it me or nothing? That's how the Christian should feel. Paul said it well. He said, I want to be captured by Jesus Christ just like he's captured me. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. He said, not that I've already attained to this. And people will listen to that and use that as an excuse for sin. See, Paul said he hadn't got there yet. Paul wasn't talking about sinning. Paul had a thirst. He said, I want to know Jesus. If you understand, this is 750 years before Jesus was even born, that God, through his prophet, is inviting his people to have a relationship with him. Now, he's got some requirements. First, he said, you've got to be thirsty. You've got to really want this relationship. The Bible says that God commands all men everywhere to seek for him, though he's not very far from any one of them. But you and I are responsible to seek. It's kind of different than what some TV preachers say, you know. Why, you just say this little sinner's prayer, God bless your heart, and you're a child of God, you're going to heaven whether you do anything else or not. Hallelujah, glory to God. It's not what God said. He said, do you thirst for me? If you do, it's beautiful. He said, come to the water. Come by and eat wine and milk without money. God told Israel through one of the prophets, you sold yourselves without money, and I'm going to redeem you without money. See, the Jews had a shekel that they used in the temple, and it was called a redemption price. Half a shekel for every man. And what it signified was God was buying you back from sin. God here is not talking just to the righteous. He's talking to the backslid Jews. His first thing, he said, you've got to thirst. I don't want casual seekers. I'm not interested in curious spectators. I want people that want to know me. You know why? Because he wants to have a relationship with you. Because as we come to know God, he begins to reveal more of himself to us. He wants us to know him. And that's that intimate word. Adam knew Eve and she bare a child and named him Abel and named him Cain. No, God's not asking to enter into a sexual relationship. He's asking you to enter into a heart-to-heart relationship with him. Intimate. That word no is intimate. God is saying into me. He can already see into us. And what gets me about this passage, none of these people deserve it. None of us deserve it. We're his enemies before we come to Christ. And he is offering this to his enemies. He said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him come to me and I will abundantly pardon. You know, sometimes Christians, we carry sin, secret sin in our lives. And it's usually because we enjoy it. But when the sin's doing us, and I've had that happen as a Christian, when the sin's doing me instead of me doing it, the only remedy I have found is to go back to the cross of Jesus Christ and say, God, have mercy on me. I can't whip this by myself. That's what he wants. That's what repentance is. You're saying, God, this is a sin and I don't want it. And the Lord said, I'll abundantly pardon you. Aren't you glad God's merciful? He could look at us and say, are you kidding me? I've been watching you for the last few months, boy. Who do you think you are? But he doesn't. Because Jesus Christ is our mercy seat. This is what he's talking about here. He says, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. That means anybody can come to this. God's saying, anyone who wants to come, come, if you're thirsty. I know I keep hitting on that. I was talking to the Lord this week when I was studying this, and it was making me think and look within myself. I said, God, do I really thirst for you? Or am I presumptuous and think, hey, I've been saved, that's all I need? I remember a guy in the Baptist church told me that one time. I've been really digging into the Holy Spirit because I was like the Ephesian believers. I didn't know if there was one. I didn't know who it was. And I was talking to this Baptist brother, and he said, well, I'll tell you what, I don't need that. He said, I don't believe it's for today, but if it is, I don't need it. I said, wow, maybe I ought to be worshiping you, man. If you don't need the Holy Ghost, what an arrogant, idiotic statement. I don't need it when God says we do. I love this passage. He says, come to me. If you're thirsty, come. Where do you go when you're thirsty? You go where you can get a drink. Jesus said, I am the living water. You know why that upset the Jews? Because back in Jeremiah, God said, I am the living water. And here stood this rabbi saying, I have living water. I can give you living water. And they're going, who's that dude think he is? Only God's the living water, yeah? If you put two and two together, you'd figure it out. Where do you spend most of your time? Don't answer that. I mean, I'm asking you to think about that. Where do you spend most of your time? Where are your devotions? You know, Paul talked to the unmarried in Corinth, and some of them were betrothed to be married. And he said, you know, if you can settle it in your mind, if you don't have that need, he said, he who marries his virgin, his betrothed wife, he doesn't sin, but he who doesn't marry her does a whole lot better. Well, people say, Paul hated women. No. Paul said, when you're married, your focus has to be on your spouse and on God. And he said, if you're not careful on preparedness, you can try to please her more than you would God. And God said, you can't do that. Not if you're going to follow me. God's saying here, look, are you thirsty? Sin left me thirsty. It left me high and dry. And as I come to know Christ, as I pray and seek Him to draw closer, and He reveals more of Himself to me, I find I want more. I want to know Him and the power of His resurrected life. Paul said that. I want to know the power of His resurrected life. He said, I haven't attained you yet, but I'll tell you what I do. I forget what's behind me. And I go forward. The Christian life, we are to be ever and always seeking God. We're to be ever and always seeking Christ. Because my Bible says that God is molding us. One of my professors explained the Greek from image to image. The Bible says from glory to glory. And he said that Greek there is image to image. Whose image? The image of Jesus Christ. God is constantly molding us into that image. You and I are in the dispensation that we can know these promises. These were promises these people looked forward to and they didn't get. See, the Jews understood that there was coming a time that God was going to pour His Spirit out upon them. They thought it was just them. And at the Feast of Booths on the last day, the priest would bring water in buckets from this spring. And they had an altar set up on the platform, and they'd get up on that platform, and they'd start singing. And they'd start saying, may the Lord bless you, may the Lord pour His Spirit out upon you. Oh God, pour Your Spirit out, Dr. Mark was singing. Flood over me. And it was a ceremony where they begged God to pour His Spirit out. Why? Because they wanted to know Him. That's what they were saying. We want to know You. Apart from the Spirit of Christ, you can't know God. That scares me when I hear believers say, well, I don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. You know, I think you just get a little beefy with Him. We get all of God's conversion, He just doesn't get all of us. Yeah, that's what happens. And I'm not saying that to knock me down, because by the time I think I'm walking on level ground, people off the side of my face say, oh, God, I thought I had this whip. Nope, get back up. I forgive you. Keep going. I've been praying a lot lately. Give me the heart of a shepherd. And I had somebody just the other day told me that. You need to be more of a shepherd. The Bible says you rebuke a wise man, he'll love you for it. And I love them for that. The only way I'm going to be a better shepherd is when I get to know my shepherd. And when my shepherd will fill me with his spirit, then Paul said, I have the mind of Christ. Do you get that? The mind of Christ. Christ can talk to me, mind to mind. But he won't do it with me watching soap operas or reruns or football games. No, I'm not against sports. But I'm saying if you can sit there and say, I spend about 20 hours a week for my own entertainment, and I read the Bible an hour a week, guess who's going to win? God won't reveal himself to you through a football game. He might reveal the truth when you see something happen. I've had some theological truths revealed to me by watching Bugs Bunny. Yeah, I used to tell him that. Boy, I got a good theological lesson from Bugs Bunny. So they say, what? So they say, yes, you won't go to Bugs Bunny. I said, I didn't go to him. I was watching him and I saw a truth. Now, Bugs Bunny isn't the Lord. He's not the Word of God. I remember one time the Yosemite Sam was chasing him. Bugs was running there at the end of the house, and he ran down in the basement, and Yosemite Sam started to come down there, and Bugs ran back upstairs, and he said, don't go down there, it's dark, and took off. Isn't that what we Christians ought to be doing? Don't walk that path, it's dark. I get so frustrated now as an older guy. I remember older people in the church used to tell me, one of these days, you'll understand. Now I'm one of the old, almost said something wrong. I'm one of the old people. To the kids. And I can look at them kids and love them to death and say, man, you don't want to go that way. It's dark. I can't do that unless I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Neither can you. God said, look, come and I'll this water, I paid for it. Bought and paid for it. All you got to do is come and receive it. He said, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him come to me, and I will abundantly pardon. What a promise. He didn't say, go do good works. If you try to outdo the life you used to live, and you get to a certain point that you're doing the right thing, then I'll call you righteous. That's not how it works. I'm righteous because of what Jesus Christ did for me. Righteous doesn't mean that I'm perfect. It means I am in right standing with my Father. But I'm not a Calvinist, and neither is he. God will not look at you in sin and say, well, you're righteous. All I see is Jesus when I look at you. God doesn't do that. He says, repent. Stop that. Turn your back on that. Come to me and I'll pardon you. So there's no forgiveness without repentance. I didn't say that. He did. These people, a lot of these people are worshiping Baal, and this is God's pleading for them. Come back. I'll forgive you. The second half I really love because I'm a Gentile and God promises the Messiah. He said, a nation that doesn't know you is going to speak for you. They're going to come to you. That's the blessing. You see, God wasn't just speaking to the Jews here. He's also speaking to the future nations, the Gentiles. That's why Paul always wanted to preach in a foreign land. He said, I want to preach what Jesus has never been preached, because Paul knew the scriptures. And it thrilled Paul to see a bunch of pagans turn around and give their hearts to Christ. I bet Paul danced the jig in Ephesus when they took their sorcery books, piled them up, and burned them. And it said they numbered them, they were worth 50,000 drachma. A drachma was a day's wages. So 50,000 days were the wages. I think Paul just rejoiced and said, look what God can do. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The reason we don't have them is because we don't want them. We're trying to do things on our own. No, thank you, God. We'll take care of this. We'll do it on ourselves. I don't want people thinking I'm weird. If I get the Holy Spirit, people might think I'm weird. It's all right. They thought Jesus was weird. You're in good company.
I've had people say, "Yeah, you believe in the gift of spirit. You haven't seen anybody raised from the dead?"
Yeah, I have.
I've seen several people in the last 17 years raised from the dead. Not physical, spiritual. Remember what Jesus said in John to the Jews? He said, "Don't marvel at this. The hour is now coming, and it's here, right now, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." The hear there doesn't mean you just hear. It means those who respond. Those who obey will live. I've seen a lot of dead people raised. I've seen a drunk become a teetotaler. I've seen a loose woman become virtuous. I've seen sex addicts delivered. Jesus Christ is in the business of giving us a new life, making us a new creature, and then God is forming us into the image of Jesus Christ. And you know what? That's painful. Because when he forms, he has to cut away. And we have a problem with that. Don't cut that away, God. Man, I gave up women and whiskey. You don't take that from me. God says, "Nope, it's got to go." Our God. Are you thirsty? Come to me. Have you sinned? I will pardon you if you forsake it. What a God. I don't have to earn my way to him. I don't have to be good enough for God to love me. God was saying this when I was his enemy. Can you imagine that? When we were his enemy, by the things in our minds, Paul said in Ephesians, by wicked works, and the things that we were constantly doing against God, God loved you. And this invitation was here. See, the Jews understood this was messianic. He's talking about Messiah. And that's why they pray for Messiah. They still do. Because, boy, when Messiah comes, God will pour his spirit out on us. And God said the knowledge of God will cover the earth like water. Everybody wants that. But not everybody wants it bad enough to seek it. We're just presumptuous at times and think, well, if God's going to do that after my life, he'll do it. I don't have to do anything. That's not what he said here. Jesus said the Father knows what we need before we ask him, but he wants us to ask. Why? Because you need to see your need. You won't thirst for God unless you understand that you need more of God in your life. Well, I got this much to get to heaven, brother, and that's all I need. So I'm scared of that kind of testimony. You see, get out of Nazarene church, you tell me, "Don't confuse me with the fact you're getting enough to get me into heaven." Well, I can't get you into heaven. If I make it to heaven, it'll be by the grace of Jesus Christ. You better start working on your own relationship with him and be like Jesus was with Peter when he said, "What about him?" And he said, "What's that to you?" Jesus said, "That's none of your business, Peter." We get so caught up as Christians in the church to try to point everybody out. "Look, Lord, what they're doing. Look, how come they don't have to quit smoking?" And I did. Lord said, "None of your business. I'll deal with them about tobacco or about other habits when it's time." The Lord said, "It's none of your business, Peter. You worry about Peter because you got enough to worry about just being Peter." Well, Peter had a heart for the Lord, though. After he was filled with the Spirit, church history says that he was tortured for 6 months before he was executed, and they kept having to switch the guards because Peter was leading them to Christ. That's the guy that stood in front of a little girl and said, "I don't know him, man." Boy, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he stood before the Sanhedrin and said, "You judge for yourselves, is it right for me to listen to you or listen to God?" He said, "Because we can't help but talk about the things that God does." That's from the Spirit. Do you thirst for God? I've been asking myself that all week. Do I thirst for you? I don't know. Am I apathetic, Lord? Am I complacent? Am I at a place in my relationship with you that I think I don't need to go any further? Because if I am, I'm in trouble. The teacher in Hebrews rebuked the students in Hebrews chapter 6. He says, "For when at this time you ought to be able to teach, somebody has to teach you all over again." Lord, well, I'm in the way, brother. Well, get out of the way so we can move forward, or get in the way. God says, "Seek me, and I will reveal myself to you." What a promise. God isn't somebody that just hides here. "Oh, you're getting warm, you didn't know. Now you're getting cold. Oh, you're getting warm." God doesn't play that way. When we seek him and we take a step toward God, he takes a step towards us. He does. Jesus said, when he left, "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And he's going to reveal the truth. Not only that, he'll reveal me to you and the Father." You know, he's still not finished revealing himself to his people. I'm not talking about extra-biblical revelation. If it's not in line with the Word, then don't listen to it. God says, "I want you to thirst for me, and I'm going to give you water, everlasting water. And the spring will never run dry. It's inexhaustible. But that spring bubbles up within you, and you can't contain it. It goes out, and it starts touching lives around you. Some people will be glad, some will hate your guts and talk ugly about you." Well, then Jesus freaks. You know, man, every time that dude opens his mouth, he'll just talk about Jesus this and Jesus that. A good friend of mine came to me after I got saved, and I was mowing the churchyard with a little old lawnmower mower. I hate the lawnmower mowers. They sound like a sewing machine, and you have to take it real slow. But I was singing praises. Boy, I was happy. And a friend of mine came up, he was in the car, and he said, "What's happened to you?" He said, "You changed, man. What's happened to you? You're not the same guy." I said, "I came to Christ, man, and he's changed me." I said, "You want to talk about the weather? I want to talk about the weatherman. That's all. I want to talk about the one who saved me." One day he was inviting me to go hunting on property that was marked no trespassing. He said, "That guy doesn't even live in this state. He'll never know you were there. What's the harm in that? It's full of deer and squirrels." I said, "Because God would see me hunting there." So I don't care if anybody else saw me. I know God would see me. And when a man posts his lane, you need to respect that. He said, "Man, you've changed." Have you? What difference has Jesus Christ made in your life in the last year? How have you changed in the last year? Now, you don't have to talk about it. I'm just having you think about that. How have you changed? What's become different about you? Do you find yourself thinking more and more about the Lord than you do the world? Do you find yourself feeling that my relationship is still inadequate and I want to know you better? Do you find yourself thinking like that? That's what God calls thirsting. Good news. He said, "I'm sending a guy to you that when he's done doing my work, he said, I can pour my water out upon you and fill you to the brim, and you'll never thirst again." Praise the Lord. Don't you stand with me this morning? There's not a hurdle you have to run through, or an obstacle course, or you can't get good enough to get this. God offers it to you freely through Jesus Christ. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never called on his name and confess that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior, I want you to come up here, if you will, and we'll talk about it. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian and you're struggling with sin in your life, you don't have to come up here and tell us what your sin is, but right where you are, right here and now, say, "God, I forsake that, and I won't do it again. Give me your water." And what God say? "I will pardon you." What a hope. "I will pardon you.
Would you come as we sing the invitation song?
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm yours. You are my desire. No one else will do. Cause nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. We know you are near. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm you are my desire. No one else will do. Cause nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your. Find a way, bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you.
Sister Wilma Davis is going to have eye surgery this Wednesday. She's asking for you to pray for her. I don't have any others written down here before. Has anybody got one they want to bring to the body before we close? Okay. Well, Doc, would you close for us in prayer, please?
Personality in the Bible.
One, two.
If you don't have personality, maybe you can find one
before you
get out of here.
Amen. Amen. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Yeah. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born again. That Jesus Christ is born. One more. That Jesus Christ is born. Amen.